أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله، نستعينه ونستهديه ونستغفره ونتوب إليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فإن أفضل الحديث كلام الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. Dear brothers and sisters, a few days ago was the beginning of the Hijri year. The Hijri year is the year that Muslims use for calculation of the years. Now, just a quick reminder, because there have been some arguments about is this something to celebrate or is this something not to celebrate. Now, I think the answer to that, it is a time for remembrance. It is the time where we should remember Hijrah. Now, whether to celebrate or not is immaterial. There's nothing wrong with celebrating it if you want to. There's nothing wrong with not celebrating it if you don't want to. I know that some of our Shia brothers consider these days to be sad days because it is called Ashura, where Imam Hussein was killed. So this is not the place for argument. Doesn't matter whether you celebrate or not, but what we need to do is to remember the Hijrah and see what we can learn out of Hijrah. And this is what I'm going to try and talk to you about today. Now, just a little hint about the Hijri, Tariq al-Hijri. How did it start? Actually, it did not start in the time of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It started in the time of Khalifa Umar, when they were laying the foundations for the Islamic State. And they decided that they should have a year starting, and they decided that they are going to start calculation from the day of Hijrah. Now, the Hijri year is based on the lunar calendar, which is slightly different from the Gregorian calendar that we use for every day. So it is still 12 months, but the months are either 39 days or 30 days depending on the moon. And so there's a slight difference in the calculation of both. The Arabs actually had the months there, but they used to change the months and the names of the months around because there were 3 months where they were not allowed to fight. So they used to change it around. So what Omar did was to put things in order and to put a definite date for the start of the calculation of the years. And just out of interest, the first day was Muharram, was the 16th of July, 622. And the months are Muharram, Safar, Rabi' Awwal, Rabi' Akhir, Jamad Awwal, Jamad Akhir, Rajab, Sha'ban, Ramadan, Shawwal, Dhul Qa'dah, Dhul Hijjah. Because I mean, some of us actually don't even memorize the names of the month, which is a bit of a shame, because we know January, February, March, April, but I think we should at least know the names of the months of our Hijri calculation. Another interesting thing about the Hijra year, or the lunar year, because there's a difference in the number of days, the number of years calculated by our Gregorian and by the lunar years is slightly different. So if we go to Surah Al-Kahf, you know, the Jews asked Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, trying to embarrass him, about three things. One of them was, tell us about these guys, the youngsters who went into a cave. And of course he didn't know anything about them. So Allah revealed Surah Al-Kahf to answer the Jews. And he gave them more information than even what they knew. And to avoid any arguments from their side, it says, وَلَبِتُوا فِي كَهْفِهِمْ ثَلَاثَ مِئَةٍ سِنِينَ وَزْدَادُوا تِسْعًا. He stayed in the cave for 300 years plus 9. And the scholars, when they looked into that, they found something very interesting. 300 years is the amount of years they have stayed, depending on which way you calculate it. The difference between the Gregorian and the lunar years is actually 9 years. So, for them not to argue about it, no, it wasn't 300, it was rather than 9, the Quran made it clear. It was 300 plus 9, whichever way you want to calculate. So, just an interesting thing. Anyway, now let's talk about the hijrah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the talk about the hijrah and the lessons that can be learned from the hijrah can take hours and hours and hours. As a matter of fact, books have been written about that. So I'm just going to select one or two topics to talk about today, depending on the time. Unfortunately, we're very short of time today. Anyway, the hijrah was actually Prophet Muhammad knew that he was going to do hijrah at some stage, and interestingly, he knew that from day one, because when he saw Angel Jibril and he ran back home and he was quite frightened, his wife took him to Warqa ibn Nawfal, who was a scholar in these days. And when they told him the story of what happened, when Prophet Muhammad was in, saw Angel Jibril and so on, Warqa ibn Nawfal said something very strange. He said, "Hadha huwa namusul a'la alladhi nazala ala Musa." This is the angel that was revealed to Moses. "Ya laytani fiha jiz'an ay qawi idh yukhrijuka qawmuka." I wish I would be strong enough when your people will kick you out. And Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Are they going to kick me out?" He said, "Yes." قال أهم مخرجيهم قال نعم ما أتى أحد بمثل ما أوتيت إلا عودي. Nobody has ever come with the truth like you except when his people made him an enemy. So essentially Prophet Muhammad knew from day one that somehow he was going to have to immigrate. Now, as I said, there are many, many stories about hijrah, many things to be learned from it. But I think there are two main aspects I want to concentrate on today. One, if we imagine what happened, Prophet Muhammad stayed for 13 years in Mecca, calling his people to the truth. He even went to Taif to try and call people to support him. And there they insulted him, they threw stones at him, they injured him. After 13 years of continuous insults, continuous injury, continuous harm to him and his followers, the immigration came. But the important thing to remember here is what would have happened if after the first few years, or after going to Taif and being harmed, he said, "Fine, look, I've tried my best, I know this is the truth, they don't want to know. Fine, that's it." No, he never did that. And this is the important lesson for us to learn. We must never allow ourselves to be defeated psychologically. As long as you are psychologically strong, as long as internally you know that you're on the right path, it doesn't matter if people take the mickey out of you. It doesn't matter if people make mock you. It doesn't matter if people even harm you. Inside, you must not allow them to, because defeat only comes if you are psychologically, if you are defeated internally. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was never defeated internally, and that's the very, very important lesson that we should learn. The Quran says, Prophet Muhammad, فَلَعَلَّكَ بَاخِعُ نَفْسَكَ عَلَىٰ آثَارِهِمْ إِنْ لَمْ يُؤْمِنُوا بِهَذَا الْحَدِيثِ أَسَفًا. Are you going to kill yourself because they don't believe you? The Quran was trying to encourage him. So what we learn from here is we, inshallah, are on the right path. Whatever happens, no matter how much Muslims are being fought, no matter how much hardship we go through, the important thing is never to be defeated internally. If you are defeated psychologically, you are defeated forever. As long as you are strong internally, it doesn't matter how things are externally. As a matter of fact, a lot of us look around us and say, look what's happened to all the Muslim world around us. Look at what's happening to the Muslims. They are all defeated, they are all weak, they are all in a horrible state. It doesn't matter. It doesn't really matter. Of course, it doesn't matter. It's not a good thing. But we must not let this get into us. We must not let this shake our faith. The scholars said a very important thing. They said, من الصعب أن تموت في سبيل الله ولكن من الأصعب أن تحيا في سبيل الله. It's very difficult to die in the way of Allah, because you can even go out fighting for Allah's sake and you might not be killed. So it's difficult. It's not something that you can determine. However, it is even harder to live in the way of Allah. So this is something that you have a choice to do. من الأصعب أن تعيش في سبيل الله. We can live in the way of Allah. It is hard, it's difficult, especially in these times, but it is doable, and it's something that we should do. We should take heed from what Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba did. If they had not done what they've done, if they were not strong internally, we would not have got Islam today, and we would not be alhamdulillah Muslims today. Please move forward, brothers and sisters. Please move forward. Now, the second point which I just want to mention is, if we look at how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam planned his hijrah, and as I said, the story can take hours and hours to say in detail, but I'm just going to mention some headlines. Look at the sort of planning he's done. First of all, he chose his cousin Sayyidina Ali ibn Abi Talib to sleep in his bed, and gave him everything that the Mushriks of Mecca had left with him to return to them because of honesty. So he planned this. Secondly, he chose his companion. He chose Abu Bakr. Abu Bakr came one day to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and told him, "I want to immigrate." And he told him, "No, wait. You might have good companionship." So this tells us that he was actually planning and planning the companionship. Third of all, he prepared two strong camels, so he arranged for the transportation. The fourth thing is, he chose a professional guide to show them the way. He was called Abdullah ibn Uraykat. Abdullah ibn Uraykat was not a Muslim. And again, we learn from this that it doesn't matter. When you want to do a business, when you want to do something, you choose the best. You don't go, because he's a Muslim brother, I will let him do the job. No. You let the best person do the job. And that's what Prophet Muhammad did. Then the fifth thing is, he chose a very interesting way for supplies. How are they going? Because, you know, when they went for Hijrah, they didn't go straight to Medina. They traveled south first, and they hid in a ghar, in a cave, which they chose quite carefully. Now, they needed food to be brought to them. So they chose Asma bint Abi Bakr. She was later on called Batani Taqaini because she split her shawl to carry the food. Asma was pregnant, was heavily pregnant. So nobody imagined that when she went out of Medina, she would be going to supply the food. So it was a very good choice. So he made sure that the food is being supplied to them. He also made sure that they got intelligence. He wanted to know what's happening when they're out. So he chose Abdullah ibn Abi Bakr to go around Mecca, get the information, and bring it to them. So you can see from all this that the Prophet had very, very good planning for the Hijrah. How he's going to get away with it, because you know that the Kuffar had a big bounty on his head, and he wanted him dead or alive. Now, the question here is, Prophet Muhammad ﷺ and Isra and Ma'raj had a burak. The burak was sort of like a horse or whatever, we don't know what it is, but it was spreading from Mecca to Jerusalem, and then from Jerusalem up to the skies in no time. So, if he wanted to immigrate to Medina, why did he not ask God for this? He could have done that. And the answer is here, exactly, because this is how we should do things. It's called an Ajr al-Asbab. We should prepare, we should plan. This is what we should do, because Husbil Tawakkul, to rely on Allah, does not mean that you sit down and say, "Oh Allah, we supply. Oh Allah, please give me this." No. Husbil Tawakkul means that you plan, that you try your best, and then you put your faith in Allah. So Tawakkul is Ajmal al-Qalb ala Allah, the heart relies on Allah. But the Ajr al-Asbab, but you have to try your best, you have to plan everything. And this is the most important lesson that we learn from the Hijrah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Look at how much preparation he's made for his Hijrah. As I told you, he could have done it just like that, he could have asked God to transfer it immediately, without having to go through that, but to go through all that. But the idea is that we learn, this is how it is, this is what we learn. We have to rely on Allah and make sure in our hearts that Allah is going to deliver. But we must take it as that, we must try our best. Now finally, I'll just tell you about an interesting story as part of the Hijrah. When Prophet Muhammad and Abu Bakr were traveling in the desert, there was a very good hacker He was very famous to be a good trekker from the Mushrikeen. He was called Suraqa. Suraqa managed to track down Prophet Muhammad and Abu Bakr. He didn't tell others because he wanted the bounty for himself. Now, as soon as he got close to them, and he could actually see them, his horse stumbled. So he fell. He got up on his horse, tried to get close again, and he stumbled twice. He got up and did the same thing three times. When this happened three times, he realized that something is protecting this man, Prophet Muhammad. And he realized he's not going to get him. So he told that to him, and he said, I realize that I won't be able to get to you, but give me something. I've come up all this way, give me something. And the Prophet told him, okay, I will give you the bangles of Kisra. Kisra was the king of the Persians. Persia was a superpower at the time. There were two superpowers, like the USSR and America, and the bangles of one of the superpowers of the time. Now, a man who is a fugitive running away for his life in the desert with nothing, promising him bangles of Kisra. And here's an interesting thing. So Rafa, despite not being a Muslim, he knew that Muhammad never lied. So he did not question that. He just said. And interestingly, years and years later, after the death of Prophet Muhammad, the Muslims actually managed to defeat the Persians, and all the jewels of Kisra were brought to the Khalifa. And he got the bandits and said, where is Suraqa? And Suraqa came and he told him, here are the bandits of Kisra, that's the promise of Prophet Muhammad. 3 years later. So, this is where he had faith. He knew what was going to happen. And this is where his heart was always at peace. He knew that they were going to overcome. And this is the lesson that we should learn. We should always know that Allah is not going to let his religion down. Allah has promised that this religion is going to be till the end of time. So we try our best to take the asbab, but we should not be defeated internally, and more importantly, we should plan in our lives. And that's the thing I'm going to talk about in the second part of the khutbah, inshaAllah. أَقُولُ قَوْلِي هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له الملك الحق المبين وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد So he said that one of the most important lessons we can learn is planning. Now we need to plan for our life and more importantly we need to plan for the hereafter. There is a saying of Sayyidina Ali ibn Abi Talib, the cousin of Prophet Muhammad, the fourth Khalifa, which is sometimes mentioned by people as being a hadith. It is not a hadith, it is something that Ali ibn Abi Talib said, where he said, يَعْمَلْ لِدُنْيَاكَ كَأَنَّكَ تَعِيشُ أَبَدًا وَأَحْمَلْ لِآخِرَتَكَ كَأَنَّكَ تَمُوتُ غَدًا. Plan for your world, for your life, as if you're going to live forever. However, plan for your death, as if you're going to die tomorrow. And interestingly, that this saying is a very wise saying from Ali ibn Abi Talib. And it's what it is in the Quran, by the way, where the ayah says, وَتَلْ فِيمَا أَتَاكَ اللَّهُ أَطَارُ الْآخِرَةِ وَلَا تَنْقَ نَصِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا وَأَحْسِنْ كَمَا أَحْسَنَ اللَّهُ إِلَيْكَ. And whatever God gave you, try to do for your hereafter, but don't forget this life. And أحسن, and do the best you can. So, if we take this advice and try to apply it, I think it would be a very good form of planning. So, for our lives, we need to think as if we're going to live forever. I'll plan what I'll do now, next year, in 5 years, in 10 years, in 20 years, in 30 years. So still I might not be here, but I still need to plan. I need to take the last time, I need to try my best. However, on the other hand, if I can put myself into this my state and think, I'm dying tomorrow. What would you do if you go to die tomorrow? If somebody came and said you're going to die tomorrow, what would you do? Try to do it. Try to do it every day. It's a significant balance, but it is the balance that we need to achieve. And if we achieve, we can achieve happiness in this world and happiness in the hereafter. Now, as I said, there were many, many other lessons that can be learned from the Hijra, but unfortunately we're running short of time. I wanted to talk about many more points, but maybe we'll do that in some other khutbah, inshallah. اللهم اني الحق حقا وارزقني اتباعه وارنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه اللهم ارحمنا بحيائك عن حرامك وارضنا بفضلك عن سواك اللهم ارحمنا بترك المعاصي ابدا ما احييتنا وارحمنا بترك ما لا يعنينا وارزقنا حسن الظن التي رضيت عنا اللهم انصر الاسلام والمسلمين اللهم انصر الاسلام والمسلمين اللهم انصر الاسلام والمسلمين ربنا اتنا في الدنيا حسنه وفي الاخره حسنه وقنا عذاب النار وادخلنا الجنه مع الابرار
عباد الله إن الله أمر بالعدل والإحسان والإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون فاذكروا الله يذكركم واستغفروه لعلكم تفلحون وأقم الصلاة وآت الزكاة.